Great is thy faithfulness. Father, again we are here in your presence. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just lead each one of us. Help us to truly understand about your great love for us and your great faithfulness. Help us to learn, Lord, that even when we are faithless, you are still faithful. And why? Because you can't deny who you are. And so, Lord, please take this few minutes that we have and help us to leave this place in a deeper relationship and understanding of your great love for us, so that we can shine. That old song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Lord, we want to shine for you this year. Whether in school or at work, even here in this place where your name is written in our hearts tonight. So bless our time. Bless my brothers and sisters as they share maybe of your faithfulness to them and your great love. In Jesus' name. Before we get going, and actually we will be in Hosea chapter 4, and I'm telling you, I struggle. Some issues that in this chapter, and actually for the rest of the book, but weaved in these cycles of judgment, but there's also restoration. You know, and that's hope for me, because I've stumbled. But God is faithful, and he helps us to get up and walk with him. And so, maybe you would like to, next couple minutes, to share on God's faithfulness to you, of God's great love, how he had demonstrated that to you this past year. And I have the mic, and would you like to share on about faithfulness? Because that, in effect, is what we will be talking about. God's people, Israel, weren't. And so let's just maybe share, take a couple of minutes and just go around and just be thankful and about God's faithfulness to you and what he's done and what he's put on your heart, maybe to do this year, rather than maybe something that you didn't do, but yeah, you say, now, Lord, I want you to be faithful in accomplishing what you call me to do. Lord, I know you're faithful. What do you want me to do this year coming up? So anybody would like to start off in sharing God's faithfulness, his love? Good, Chris.
Well, as to faithfulness, every day that I get up, I never really know what next week is going to bring. I kind of leave it up to God to put something before me and put something on my plate, because I know I have a lot of bills to pay, and I don't know how I'm going to pay them without his help. And every day the phone will ring with something that's new and unexpected, and I just know it's from God, that he's providing me with opportunities, and so I'm thankful to him. I'm so grateful that he is able to see my needs and take care of them for me. So that's what I'm thankful for, is to wake up in the morning and know that God will take care of me.
No pressure. And Pastor Darren said that, no pressure. Nobody else?
I'll share.
Okay.
So we've had some struggles over the last year, and the Lord always provides. I'm just amazed at that. Kind of no matter how much I can mess it up, he can fix it. And why he does amazes me. That's just his grace and mercy. And so, the Lord is opening up a couple of different good things, opportunities for our family, for me, and that's in spite of me not always listening, or not listening enough, or not listening very much, however you want to say it. That's just a testimony again to his grace and mercy. And I think what I'm seeking for this upcoming year is true surrender, right? I mean, he's faithful to provide to us. I think if we truly surrender, then we really hear what he wants us to do. And that's really what you were saying in the beginning, Tom. You were saying that, you know, Lord, show us what to do. And I think we block that. I mean, speaking for myself, I know I block that sometimes. Because I want what I want, not what he wants. So that's my prayer, is, we keep wanting to fight. And again, it seems to always come down to surrender. And it's so ironic. And that's the Lord's world, as opposed to the world that we live in, that says you got to keep fighting for this and that and the other thing, and it's just not the way in his kingdom. So praise God for that. Praise God that we're redeemed and that we can start a fresh year.
Amen. Anybody else? God's favorites. Thank you, Rebecca.
So some of you know my sister-in-law, Justine, my little brother's wife. She had lost a baby last year, and they didn't really know why early on. She lost it, and then she got pregnant again, and everything seemed fine. And then at 6 months, she went into labor, and she didn't know why, and there was a lot of complications. Even though she's a young woman and she's very healthy, these kind of things happen, so... I remember when she went into the hospital that we were all really concerned that she could lose the baby, or that maybe something wasn't developed properly and something would be wrong with the baby for its whole life, or maybe it wouldn't have a very long life. But everybody gathered around her and prayed for her, and she really relied on the Lord for her peace and strength around it. It was really an encouragement to me, because in the past she's been more fearful, so it was cool to see her growing in her faith as she was going through the difficulty. And at first, she, of course, was like, you know, God, why are you doing this to us? But it didn't take very long. I think probably within an hour, she was back to like, all right, Lord, I trust you. Let's, you know, put this all back in your hands where it belongs. And thank God the baby's already home. He wasn't even supposed to be born until like January. So baby's home, baby's fine. He's completely healthy, and everything worked out fine. And it's just an encouragement, just because, you know, things can go really badly, and sometimes they still do. But with all the difficulty from the last pregnancy and then this one, it was just wonderful to see her sustain through all that, and how it brought their family closer together. And it helps to remind us in our day-to-day sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I'm not even sure what I'm rushing around to accomplish other than paying bills. But like, these kind of things happen, and I think it shakes all of us to remember what we're here for and what we really believe. And it's awesome to see him walk throughout it.
Anybody else?
Well, I know that Anthony has shared about his business, but I guess from my perspective, we had been praying for a lot of money for Anthony to have his finals, and I really stood firm, and I just knew that the Lord was going to come through, and he was going to take care of it, and not for us, but for all the poolers that were coming and that were, you know, counting on it, that had faith in the Lord, but also had faith in Anthony and believed in him and what he was doing. And so, you know, I just had peace through the whole thing. I just knew that the Lord was going to take care of it. So as it drew nearer, things were falling through, and the Lord didn't provide the way we thought. And so we had to, you know, our worst fear, we had to put it out there that we didn't have the money. But God's faithful. He was still faithful, and just in a different way than what we thought. And it grounded Anthony back to where he started. And if he had provided the money, then sure, it would have been there. But I think that Anthony's flesh would have just gone a different route. It would have been like, okay, you know, we would have given God all the glory, but I think we would have just gone in a different direction. And it grounded us back. And really, you know, what we're doing and who we're doing it for, and, you know, and it's not about the big money. So he's faithful even when he doesn't answer it the way we want it answered.
I looked at it as we're, you know, let me see, you're bruised but not crushed. It was a hit, but you know what? I still have a business and I can still move on. You know, I wasn't crushed from the whole situation.
Anybody else before? Do you ever think about the difference between the Apostle John and Peter? I got an email, actually a note from Ben Carson. Anyone don't know who Ben Carson is? Now, Ben Carson is the son of John Carson. And I'll turn it on, and then you can hear me better. Who needs a mic, right? I got a big enough voice. But he went through a horrific trial this past year because his wife wound up leaving him, just walking out. And I think I ran a video a while back on this trial and what God was doing in and through it. And in spite of his wife not being faithful, how God was faithful to him. And he has a little note, and he challenged me when I thought about it, and I didn't even realize the songs is about faithfulness, God's faithfulness, and the difference between Peter, his focus, and I think a lot of times we are like Peter, at least I am. I put my foot in my mouth. I'm bold at one minute, and then I'm a coward the next. And he's rebuking me. Get behind me, Satan. But the difference between John and Peter, and they had an issue. If you really read in the Gospel of John, you can see there was some tension between the two. The older, which was Peter, and young guy, John. But this is what Ben wrote. And I think it's appropriate for our focus this year and the lack of focus that the Israelites didn't. And God was warning them of what was coming. And I think we need to be prepared for what's coming our way. Individually, but maybe as a church, as a nation, as the body of Christ as a whole. Where our focus needs to be. And so New Year's always a good time to start tweaking up our eyes a little bit as we look to the scripture. John the Apostle said, herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us. You hear that? It's not about my love for God, but his love for me. That's why John stood by the cross of Jesus, but Peter didn't. Peter denied Jesus because he focused not on how much his love was committed, on how much his love was committed to Jesus. I will go to the dungeon with you, Jesus. Yeah, even to death. This is Peter. Which is why Jesus told Peter before the rooster crowed, you will deny me 3 times. John, on the other hand, called himself the disciples, now listen, whom Jesus loved. Jesus loved. He wasn't saying he was Jesus' favorite. He was just at awe on how much Jesus loved him. And I think we really have to be in awe of his great love and faithfulness to us. Peter was focused on his love for Jesus, how he was the disciple who loved Jesus, and he denied him. But John was focusing on Jesus' love for him, how he was the disciple whom Jesus loved, so that he stood by him. John leaned on his Lord's breast and marched to the beat of Christ's heart as disciples whom Jesus loved. Are we putting our head at the heartbeat of Jesus every day, every morning? Or are we for, oh, I got so much I'm going to do for you, Lord. And we should. But it's how much he has already done for us. It should be our main focus. And then we go out in his power and his might. Because I know I will stumble. Why not? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then at the next moment, I'm being rebuked by him. Because maybe I should be focused on how great thy faithfulness. The Song of Solomon said, many waters cannot drown love. Love is immortal. There is no social utility in loving those who died. But we love him in the present and not in the past tense. Love conquers death. That's why the disciple whom Jesus loved couldn't be poisoned by the king or die. He couldn't be boiled in oil and then die. Historically, they tried to kill him, John the Apostle. God supernaturally protected him. Why? Because he had a mission for John. But rather than dying, he had a bestseller, and that is the book of Revelation, our book of hope of the future. That all the evilness, all the unfaithfulness of us and man, God's going to fix. God preserved John. Only one who never died. Like all the others that were martyred. Their faith. God preserved John because he was the one that Jesus loved. Loved him. Being the apostle of love made him all but immortal. You know, we are immortal. Nothing can happen to us unless God says it. So we could have boldness to step out. If he tells us, as we are on his breast, hearing his heartbeat, we can have confidence in knowing he will be with us. Whatever it may be, in school or at work or challenges we have in sharing our faith. I got 5 Muslims that God has brought to my doorstep at Chick-fil-A, my mission field, my Jerusalem. I'm excited at what he's going to do, but I need to hear his voice. So that means I have to be close to him and say, what do you want me to say to these guys? There's so much in my mind I can say. But Lord, that's not important. What it is you want me to say. That means I have to be listening instead of talking. And I love to talk. But I've got to learn to listen to the heartbeat of Christ. That's a lot to look forward to this new year, friends. 2018 is about enjoying, being enjoyed and loved by the God of hope. Amen? So each one of us, we can say like John, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And Jesus, or God the Father, had demonstrated his faithfulness to Israel. But we're coming to a junction that is not so sweet and happy, and it's a tough one in my heart to share. So let us turn to Isaiah chapter 4, and maybe we'll get a couple of verses. Okay, in this section here, the Lord brings a case against the nation of Israel, starting in chapter 4, going all the way to 6:3. And I would love to do that much. But in 4, he focuses on the sins of the northern tribes, which we know was, when did that happen? We know that Israel had, what, 12 tribes? And why all of a sudden we have 10, or northern tribe and southern tribe? What was the reason for that? Anybody remember? Pastor Darren covered it. Hezekiah?
Wasn't that like because Solomon's son was like bad to the people and didn't worship God?
Did you say Solomon's son?
Yeah.
Well, Solomon didn't worship God later on either. But it was a result of Solomon's sin that when God snatched the kingdom away from him and would give 10 tribes to his son, Rehoboam. I think you're on the track. And he looked at his counselors of the old guys and they said, hey, you know, Rehoboam come and say, hey, if you just lighten up, be nice, don't in bondage us and be slaves, they'll work for you for minimum wage. But then he asked the younger kids that didn't have much life experience. And Jeroboam's young friend said, hey, just whip them. Whip them hard. Get big ones. And so God split up the nation. And so we're dealing with the northern nation of, which is the 10 tribes. So this is the focus of 4. But from 5 to 515a, it talks about their guilt as a nation and also is including Judah, which is those other two tribes. And then the last part is always about God's grace, God's in repentance. There's a slight hint of eventually they will be restored. And we're going to see different cycles. Did we see that like in Judges? Remember what happened in Judges? The people, God blessed them. Plenty of prosperity. And they were rejoicing, and all of a sudden they forgot who gave them those blessings. And then all of a sudden God brings judgment, and he brings a nation to kind of to chastise them as they're crying out, Lord, Lord, all these years. And then God raised up a judge, and God brought victory over the enemy. And then they're worshiping and thanking God. And then when the judge died off, a new people group came in and they forgot God. And we get these cycles. Over 400 years. Cycle after cycle. Why didn't God wipe them out? Because God is faithful to his word. He made a covenant with the nation of Israel. And he's going to fulfill it. Not because of our faithfulness, but because of his namesake, he says. And so God is faithful, even when we're faithless. So, what do you think that is? What's that? I had it so loud. I even jumped at the computer, but I had the song down low. But here, in verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, or maybe I can put us Christians. Because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. And here's why. Why? They live in the land. And here's the charge. It says, there is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. And in verse 2, it goes on to say there were only cursings, lying, murdering, stealing, adultery. They broke off all bonds, or in the New King James, all restraints. And bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land dried up, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field, the birds of the skies, and the fish in the sea are swept away. So right here in the beginning, we see God bringing a charge. What do you believe this word charge means? Any idea? A charge. Does he give him a charge card?
Well, in the context that it has it in this verse.
What's that?
I'm assuming that wasn't a rhetorical question, right?
Okay. Well, no, I'm asking, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, in the context of this, he's talking about a crime or, like, you know, an offense.
Mm-hmm.
Telling them they've done something wrong, simple way.
Basically, it's a judgment. God is now, here's the judge, and he is presenting what? What?
I'm guessing, like an accusation.
Ah! He's bringing, good word, accusations, but what? When we go into a court, there's usually a defendant, the state, or one person. Chris takes me to court. Okay, the plaintiff? Right.
Beth.
What's that?
I was saying Beth.
Yeah. And so, he takes me, and so he brings a charge, an accusation.
A
what? A complaint. Okay? And so here God is bringing a charge, a complaint against. It's a picture of God bringing a person or a nation to trial in his courtroom. Remember, he's the judge and the jury. And he's presenting the evidence. Chris is going to present the evidence to the judge and the jury to see if I'm guilty or innocent. I plead no. Actually, God says that. Before you go, plead with him. Before you go to jail. Reconcile even before you go.
Usually
before.
You're guilty, but there's mercy on the court.
You know, I was thinking about that. In America, everyone is innocent until proven guilty. But God says, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. That's why God brought the law. Isn't it interesting? The charges that are a lot in verse 2. I want to actually go down to the charges. There were cursings, only cursings, lying, murdering, stealing, and adultery. What are they? And I think if we're going to bring a charge, and God brings a charge against us, it's not going to be arbitrary, is it? Did you know that God gave in Exodus and Deuteronomy what? Ten Commandments. Do you have idea? What's that?
Five of them.
So, you know, when we are presenting the evidence of someone doing something wrong, we want to bring the evidence of what laws were broken. God's Ten Commandments is God's laws for all humanity. And when we look at them, that's why when we go to people, they say, well, you know, I never murdered. Well, you know, did you have lust in your heart? You're guilty, Jesus said. It's not the physical. How about covetousness? Paul, he said the whole law, he was perfect, blameless. But when he looked at covetousness, it points to the inward heart of man. That makes us everyone guilty. So the law was for what purpose? Not to make a man what? Righteous, but make us guilty before him. So that we can then look to the cross. We can look to Jesus as the one who fulfilled the law, not only in action, but also in thought and deed. And so, let's get back. Let me get here. In Jeremiah 25:31, and he's done this before. He says this, his cry of justice and judgment will reach the ends of the earth. For the Lord will bring his case against all the nations. He will judge all the people on the earth, slaughtering the wicked with his sword. And I, the Lord, have spoken. Micah 6:2. And you, O mountains, listen to the Lord's complaint. He has a case against his people. He will bring charges against Israel. And so not only the result of these five commandments he broke, why did they break the commandments? Let's go back up to verse 1. They broke no faithfulness, no love, and no acknowledgement of God in the land. No faithfulness. What do you believe the word faithfulness? Actually, the New King James used the word truth. Faithfulness and truth is not in the land. The result of a lack of faithfulness and truth, a lack of, we see here, of love. Also, love is translated mercy. And so we see love in the NIV and mercy. What is mercy? What is love? Since we have mercies are new every morning, what does that actually mean for us? What's that?
Compassion.
Compassion, okay.
Well, we may understand, but God is graceful enough that he will forgive us our sins, even though he knows we've transgressed this against him. He has a certain way of looking at things that's true and honest. And if you're not listening to him and being honest to him, if you don't love him more than you love yourself and more than you love the world, then you abandon him, you've been faithless to him. And so he can forgive your faithlessness, but you need to turn to him and go back and to get back in his loving arms again.
In the Strong's from the Strong's concordance out of the blue letter, it says faithfulness or truth is firmness. Faithfulness, truth, surety, reliability. Now, God's faithfulness is reliable every single day. We can rely on it because he said it.